I'm going to read to you from Galatians chapter 6. We're just reading the first five verses. It's page 975 in your church Bible, if you're using it, 975. Galatians 6, first five verses. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself, and himself alone, and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Amen, and may God bless his word to each one of us this morning. Our main focus this morning is on one text, and it's verse 2, where it says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And we're going to look at that text together. We're going to look at five things. We're going to look at, first of all, who is Paul addressing? And then, what is the burden that Paul highlights? And who is to deal with the situation? And then, how have they to deal with it? And lastly, what motivates us to do so? So first of all, who is Paul addressing? He calls them brothers, brothers. So obviously he's addressing the church, believers, those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Sinners who've repented of their sins, tasted God's mercy and forgiveness, put their trust in Christ's finished work on the cross. That's who Paul is addressing in this portion of Scripture that we've read this morning. Men and women who are now filled with the Holy Spirit, walking with the Spirit, looking forward to Christ's return or to when he calls them home. So it's Christians he's speaking to this morning, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. John Calvin said that the church is made up of two things. It's made up of the visible church. That's everyone who comes to church on a Sunday. And then the invisible church, all those who genuinely belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, all those who have put their trust in him. So my question this morning is this. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? It's a very important question. It's a question that each one of us has to ask ourselves. Where do we stand this morning? When we are speaking about Christians, those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, what about you? Where are you this morning? Have you put your trust in Christ? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you made him Lord of your life? You know, the wonderful thing is that when we come into a service like this, we hear the gospel. It's the most important message that each and every one of us can hear. To hear the gospel. To hear that we're sinners, and that because we're sinners, we've been excluded from any plans that God has for us and for this world. We've been cut off from having fellowship with God, from knowing God, from walking with God. Our sin excludes us from this. But the wonderful message of the gospel is this, that Jesus Christ came into the world while we were yet sinners, and died is that death on the cross that we might find forgiveness, that we might be reconciled to God through the sacrifice that he has made. That when we put our trust in Jesus, God accepts us, God forgives us for our sins, and God adopts us into his family. And that's who Paul is speaking to in this portion of Scripture. Those who have done so. Those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So it's great when we hear the gospel. It awakens us to this great truth that we need to put our trust in Christ. There are many in the world today who have never done so. And the tragic thing is that they have no hope. They have nothing to look forward to. But we as Christians have a wonderful hope. We know that God has a plan for us. We know that one day Christ is going to return. Or when God takes us to be with himself, we're going to spend eternity with him. That's a wonderful hope. And it's only because of Jesus. And it's only because of what he has done on the cross. It's only because that Jesus rose again from the dead, ascended back to heaven, and is preparing a place for each and every one of us. Jesus told his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you will be also. That's a hope that Christians have this morning. Do you have that hope? Do you have that hope? Or is it that you're in this place this morning that God might awaken you to the fact that you need to turn to Him, that you need to confess your sin, that you need to get down on your knees and you need to seek God's mercy and ask for forgiveness so that you too can put your trust in Christ and what He has done for you on the cross, that you too can become part of God's family? That's an important message. An important message. And it's a message that we need to respond to. It's not something we can take lightly. It's something that we have to look at seriously and to see where we stand in relation to a holy and righteous God. And to know that there's an answer, and that answer is Jesus. By putting our trust in Him, we can become part of God's family. So Paul calls them brothers. Brothers. And he speaks about burdens in verse 2. He says, if anyone is caught in a transgression, and this is particularly the burden that Paul is speaking about this morning. Now, there are many burdens that people have in the church. We've been praying for those who are ill this morning. We've been praying for those who are struggling with problems with old age. We've been praying for those who have been in hospital. There are many burdens that we need to stand together with, that we need to show our support, we need to help people. Because we belong to the family of Christ, God has given us that responsibility. But Paul is speaking here about one particular burden, and it's a burden of transgressing the law of God, turning away from God, rebelling against God. And yes, Christians can do this also. It's easy when we're walking with Christ to fall to temptation, to find that our relationship with God isn't as it should be. And we lose our joy and we lose our peace. We also lose the assurance of our salvation. Many Christians who have backslidden, who have fallen away from grace, question their salvation. Was I really saved? So it becomes a real burden, a burden. And it may be that you're carrying this burden this morning. It may be that you're weighed down with the fact that you have fallen into sin, that you have unconfessed sin in your life, that you're struggling in your Christian life. You'd be making wrong choices. And it's these brothers that Paul is speaking to this morning, and he's also speaking to other brothers who can stand alongside them, who can help them, who can help them to come to that place where, again, they might know their joy and they might know their peace by coming to God and by putting things right with God. It's a serious condition to be in, and it has consequences. You speak to many people who have fallen into sin in their Christian life, who have given in to temptation, who no longer walk with the Lord in the way that they should. And it has consequences. If you take time later on and read Psalm 51 about David when he fell into the temptation of lust, when he looked at Bathsheba and he gave in to that lust. And we see how David struggled with this and how God made sure that David knew that God knew about it. And he brought him to that place where he was able to confess his sin. He was able to know God's forgiveness. But in Psalm 51, David speaks about losing his joy. He speaks about losing his peace. And that's what happens to the Christian when you've fallen into sin and when you're not walking with the Lord in the way that you should. And it doesn't just affect the individual's life. It doesn't just affect the Christian's life who has fallen into sin. It affects the whole church. It affects the church's witness. It affects the church's unity. And it's something that shouldn't be ignored. It's something that needs to be confronted for the sake not just of the individual, but the sake of the whole body of Christ. So transgression is a burden for the Christian who has fallen to temptation, who isn't walking with the Lord in the way that he should be. And Paul tells us who's to deal with this problem. He says in verse 1, you who are spiritual, you who are spiritual. What does that mean? Does it mean that there are certain Christians who are greater, better Christians than others? Does it mean that there are Christians who think themselves, their walk with Jesus is greater than anyone else? No, it doesn't mean that at all. When he says that you who are spiritual have to deal with it, it's to look to those who are walking in the Spirit, to look to those who are walking in the Spirit, to look to those who are walking with the Lord, to look to those who have spiritual discernment, to those who can actually point you to the Scriptures and to show you where you've gone wrong and to show you where you can find help. So how does someone become spiritual? How do you term spirituality? What are spiritual people? Well, if you read earlier on in chapter 5, Paul says this, he says, but I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit and not under the law, now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Now, that's quite a list, isn't it? And then Paul says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, and it's a massive but, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You know, God does a wonderful thing in our life when we put our trust in Christ. He starts to change us. He gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit. And that's a promise that's given to each and every Christian. It's not something extra in the Christian life. You cannot be born again unless you receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit regenerates you. The Holy Spirit points you to the Lord Jesus Christ and to what he did for you on the cross. The Holy Spirit makes you right with God when you confess your sin and when you put yourself into the hands of God. And then God starts to work in your life. He starts to change your life. Now, if you're a Christian this morning, you can look at your life and you can see the changes that have taken place. The way you used to be, the way you used to live. And these were the consequences of sin. In the description that Paul gives of someone who is not saved this morning, is someone who shows all these horrible, horrible, horrible things in their life, like sexual immorality and impurity and sensuality and idolatry and sorcery and enmity and strife and jealousy and fits of anger and rivalries and dissensions and divisions, envy and drunkenness and orgies. That's what the world's like. But the wonderful thing is that when we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and he starts to change our life. And as he starts to change our life, then we see that wonderful fruit beginning to be evident in the life of the believer. love and joy and peace and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. Isn't it wonderful when you look around and you see Christians and you can see the way that God has so wonderfully changed their life? You can think of the way that they once lived their life, and they can look at their life now that they're with Jesus. And you can see the way that they're living. You can see the joy in their life because they belong to Him. You can see the wonderful peace that they have. Not a peace that people in the world have, because there is no peace in the world today. But when you belong to Christ, you have this wonderful peace in your life because you know that you belong to Him. Isn't it great to belong to Jesus this morning? Come on, let's see the smiles on your faces. Isn't it great to belong to Jesus? To know that you belong to Him. And to know that you have that great hope in Him. To know that you're heading to eternity where you're going to spend eternity with Him. Well, that's what God does in our life. He changes our life. He gives us a different outlook in life. He helps us to see the world in a different light. He helps us to see ourselves in a different light. That we now belong to Christ. That our sin has been dealt with. It's been nailed to the cross with Christ. It's been dealt with. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that this morning? Yeah. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what it means by belonging to Christ. And the Holy Spirit's working in our life and He's bringing about that change. And we rejoice when we see people that we've once known who are once walking with the world, now walking with Christ and seeing these changes taking place. So Paul says that those who are spiritual, those who know Jesus, those who are walking with the Spirit, those who are in step with the Spirit, they are people who can help you. They are the ones who can help you if you have fallen away from grace. They are the ones who can help you if you've resisted what God is doing in your life and fall into temptation. Turn to those who are spiritual. Turn to those who you know are walking with Jesus. Let them sit down with you. Let them open up the Scriptures to you to show them the remedy and how to get back to God and how to get right with Him and how to start walking with Him again. Those who are spiritual. You know, it's wonderful what God does in people's lives when they put their trust in Jesus for salvation. If the Holy Spirit is working in our lives this morning, if we belong to Jesus, then we know that He's in control of our lives. We're looking to Him to lead us and to guide us. We're looking to Him to show us the wonderful promises in Scriptures. And to help us to look at these promises and to encourage us in our Christian faith and in our daily walk. Instead of giving in to our fleshy desires, give in to Jesus. Give in to the Holy Spirit. Help Him to lead you and guide you in life so that you might know the fullness of joy that God promises each and every one of us. So that you might know God's peace in your life. The grace of God is an amazing thing, isn't it? It really is. When I think of many, many people I know that have become Christians and they've lived terrible lives. They've been up to all sorts of things. Some of them, their lives have been in tatters because of their lifestyle. Some of them have been at the end of their tether. I know one Christian in particular, a dear brother in the Lord, who once told me his testimony about how he had become to an end of himself and he was considering suicide because he couldn't see any other way out. He was at the end of it. I can't go on anymore. I can't cope with life anymore. But somebody shared the gospel with him. Somebody sat down with him and opened up the Scriptures to him and showed him that he could have another life. A different life. If only he would trust in Jesus, if only he would turn to Jesus and accept Him as his Savior and make Him Lord of his life. And he said, you know something, I did that. I did that. There was no other answer. And I knew that God was speaking to me, and I got down on my knees and I asked God to forgive me, and there was tears in my eyes. And when I got up from my knees, I knew that God had forgiven me. I knew that unlike before, I now had a future. I now had something to look forward to. And there are many, many who will share their testimony in that way. They were at an end to themselves. They couldn't find anything in life that would offer them hope or assurance. But when they found Jesus, they found a wonderful hope, and they had a wonderful assurance that they now belong to Him. So Paul calls the spiritual, those who are spiritual, those who are walking with the Spirit, to turn to people who are struggling with their faith, to turn to people who have given into temptation, to turn to those who are struggling in their Christian life, to sit down with them and to give them advice, to point them to Jesus, to turn to the Scriptures and to show them that God can forgive them and bring them back to that place where they might know their joy and His peace. But if they do it with a spiritual spirit of gentleness, Paul says, a spirit of gentleness. Now, what does that mean? Well, we read earlier the fruit of the Spirit. And wasn't gentleness one of the fruit of the Spirit? What God does in our life and how God changes us, how we begin to bear that fruit that God wants us to. And gentleness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul says that when we turn to somebody to help them when they're struggling in their Christian faith, our brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to do it in a spirit of gentleness. That straight away rules out arrogance and pride and one-upmanship, doesn't it? We have not to lord it over other people. We have not to make other people think that they're inferior. But we have to sit down with them and we have to do it in a spirit of gentleness. To be able to show them gently that Jesus loves them, that Jesus cares for them, that Jesus wants to bring them back into the fold, that Jesus wants them to walk with Him again. So we must never, ever, ever, ever try and approach people as they're better. Because we're all one in Christ. We're all the same. We're all sinners saved by grace, each and every one of us. And Paul says in this portion of Scripture, if you think you're something, then you are nothing. You are nothing. We're all the same. We're all one in Christ. We all face the same temptations. But I'll tell you, we all have the same Lord, and we all have the same Holy Spirit, and we all have the same God that we're looking forward to bring us to that place where we might spend eternity with Him. So we have to humble ourselves, not believing that we're better than anybody else, but knowing that we are just the same. We're sinners saved by grace. You know, as far as sin is concerned, each and every one of us is a basket case. Isn't that true? Each and every one of us is a basket case. None of us has any reason to boast that we are any better than anybody else. None of us. Doesn't matter who you are this morning. We're all the same, each and every one of us. We're all the same in Christ Jesus. And we need to look to Jesus. If we want to achieve anything, it's because of Jesus. If we want to be the kind of person that God wants us to be, it's because of Jesus. It's not because of anything else. So we need to humble ourselves and we have to realize that we are all the same. As far as falling into sin is concerned, you know, each and every one of us face temptation on a daily basis. We do. It might not be as you would consider it serious sin, like sexual sin or stealing or anything like that. But each and every one of us face temptation each and every day. It might be the temptation to criticize others. It might be the temptation to bring others down. It might be the temptation to belittle others. But there are temptations that face us as Christians every day. But isn't it wonderful when we get the victory over that temptation? When we're able to look to the Lord and to look to His grace and to know that it's Him and Him alone that can help us to escape that temptation. You know, the last thing that would be on David's mind when he went up to that rooftop, when he lusted after Bathsheba, was that that would happen. Isn't that true? It would be the last thing on his mind. And it's the same with each and every one of us fall to temptation. You might say to yourself this morning, that would never happen to me. That would never happen to me. There's no way I would fall into sin that way. Well, watch yourself. Watch yourself. Because the scripture tells us that each and every one of us is vulnerable. Each and every one of us. And we have to keep looking to Jesus. We have to keep looking to him and trusting in his grace to help us to overcome that temptation. And it's the same with Peter. You remember Peter when he denied the Lord? Now Jesus said to him that he would deny it, all his disciples would desert him, that they would all leave him when his hour of need came. And what did Peter say? Lord, that would never happen to me. There's no way that that would happen to me. I will never, ever fail you, Lord. Never fail you. And Jesus said to Peter, you know, Peter, you will deny me three times before the cock crows. Peter must have said to himself, I don't think so. And what happened? When it came to the crunch, Peter denied his Lord three times before the cock crowed. It's easy to get into that frame of mind by thinking it'll never happen to me. It could happen to each and every one of us. You know, I've known Christians who have been in the ministry, have been walking with the Lord, who you would look at as being real spiritual people, and yet they've fallen to temptation and their life has been in ruins. But the wonderful thing is that there are those who are spiritual, the other Christians that can get alongside them and encourage them and help them to get back to that place where again they're walking with the Lord. And then Paul says in verse 1 also that keep watch on yourself lest you too be tempted. Keep watch on yourself. And we do. We need to watch ourselves each and every day. We need to make sure that we're spending time with the Lord. How is your prayer life this morning? You know, I've said this before from the pulpit, but if you want a spiritual checkup this morning, look at your prayer life. How is your prayer life? How often do you spend with the Lord? How often do you come to him and share your life with him and tell him what you need and thank him for what he's done for you? How often do you do that? How much time do you take in spending with the Lord? How often do you read the scriptures? Do you make a point of going through the scriptures daily? And by not just reading the scriptures, but taking the scriptures in and obeying what God is saying to you through the scriptures and taking great encouragement from what God is saying to you. We need to keep watch on ourselves, each and every one of us. We're all vulnerable. Nobody's any different. But the wonderful thing is we have a great God. We have a wonderful Savior. And we have the Holy Spirit in our life who's able to lead us away from temptation. But you need to spend time with the Lord. You need to be reading the Word. You need to be spending time with other Christians so that they might support you and help you and encourage you in the Christian faith. Are you doing that this morning? Or do you find that sometimes you're just a part-time Christian? You know, Christianity is all right for a Sunday. It's great to be able to go along to church on a Sunday, sing the lovely hymns together, listen to the sermon, enjoy lunch together after the church. And it may be that you're that kind of Christian this morning. You're a part-time Christian. But the Lord wants you to walk with him each and every day. He wants you to put things in your life on a daily basis that will help you in your Christian faith. So we need to keep watch on ourselves. You know, I celebrated my 70th birthday on Friday. Happy birthday, Derek. Happy birthday, Derek. The reason I tell you that is I was able to look back on these 70 years. And I was able to see some of the things I'd done wrong in my life. Some of the snares that I've been putting my way that I tripped up on, the bad decisions I'd made in my life. I was able to see the way that I'd hurt other people. I was able to see the way I'd made a disaster of some of the things I had done in life. But you know, the great thing is, I was also able to see that God brought me to that place eventually. But I was able to see that I was a sinner. And I knew that that's what was wrong with my life. I was a sinner. I sinned against God. I transgressed against God. And he brought me to that place where he showed me Jesus on the cross. And he showed me the Lord suffering and dying on the cross. And he showed me that he had dealt with my sin. That when I confessed my sin and I asked God to forgive me, and I did it here on this spot 43 years ago, a man called Willie Docherty, who worked with the Open Air Mission, he was conducting a week long of services here in the mission hall at One Street here before the church was here. And I heard the gospel for a whole week, and I only came along to please my mum. I only came along because my mum wanted me to come to church. She was a lovely Christian lady, and I came along to please her. I had no intention of listening to the gospel or to what Christians were saying to me. But you know something, that when I heard the gospel, it struck a chord. And I sat there night after night for the whole week listening to the gospel. God calling me out as a sinner, but also God showing me that he had dealt with my sin on the cross. And all I had to do was turn to Jesus, seek his forgiveness, and put my trust in him. And that's what I did. And I was able to look back in all these years. And yes, I saw my failures, but I also saw how the Savior had found me and how the Savior had brought me to himself. And it's just wonderful to belong to him this morning. And I know there are many here who are saying the same thing. Isn't it wonderful to belong to Jesus? Yes. To know that we're walking with him. To know that we have that great hope in him. To know that one day we're going to be with him. Not for a short time, but for all eternity. For all eternity. And I'll tell you something else. It won't be a life like you're living just now. It'll be a life where there'll be no more pain, no more suffering, no more illness, no more struggling with wrong decisions. It'll be a life where we're free from all that. And we're able to live with him. We're able to know how, the joy of being with him through all eternity. And to me, that's just wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful. And that's what we have as Christians. And when I looked back in my life, I was just able to praise God that not because I had done anything, because I can say along with the Apostle Paul that I was the chief of sinners, but because of what Jesus had done. Because of what Jesus had done for me. For me, for Derek Laidlaw. And you are able to say that this morning if you belong to Christ. Jesus has done it for me. For me, I'm no special person. Nobody here is a special person. But Jesus has done it for you. So we need to look out for those who have fallen away from the faith. We need to look out for those who are struggling in the faith. We need to look out for those who have made wrong decisions. We need to look out for those who have lost their joy, who no longer have peace, sometimes struggling with the assurance of their salvation. We need to look out for them. And Paul says, you who are spiritual, you who are walking with the Spirit, you those who are turning to the Lord on a daily basis, who are showing the fruit of the Spirit in their life. Use that experience to sit down with Christians who are struggling, to share with them in such a way that you might again point them to Jesus. Help them to again walk with him. Help them again to know the assurance of their salvation. And help them again to be filled with the joy of knowing they belong to Christ. And we have to do it gently, gently. Not in a manner that's lording over anybody or making yourself out to be any special kind of person compared to them, but doing it in a way that we show them that we're all one in Christ. We all have our struggles. We all face the same temptations. But the answer is always Jesus. The answer is always Jesus. By turning to him, by turning to the Lord, and by knowing that the Lord has dealt with your sin, and knowing that the Lord is able to bring you to that place where you're walking with him again, that you know the assurance of your salvation, that you know that you belong to him. Paul finishes up by saying that we do this because we want to fulfill the law of Christ, to fulfill the law of Christ. What does that mean? You might say this morning, but surely we're not under law anymore. Surely we're under grace. We've been freed from the law. The law has been dealt with by Jesus on the cross, that he is the one who kept the law perfectly, that he is the one that we're able to look to for salvation, that when we put our trust in him, when we ask God to forgive us for our sins, then he gives us that perfect life, the life that was lived to fulfill the law. He gives it to us, so we're no longer under law. So what is the law of Christ? Jesus tells us, he gives us a commandment to love each other, in the way that he loves us. To love each other. That's the law of Christ. The law of love. Lewis mentioned it this morning earlier in the service. That when we come to Christ, we know that he died for us because he loves us. We know that God had this wonderful plan of salvation for each and every one of us because he loves us. But when he brings us into his family, he commands us to love each other. Not to put up with each other. Not to tolerate each other. Not to be there occasionally for each other. But to love each other. It's a strong word, isn't it? And it's not love as the world knows. It's the love of God. That God loved us and he gave his son to die for us on that cross. And he expects us to love each other. Can you honestly say this morning that you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? Would you go the extra mile for them? Would you be there for them in their time of need? Would you be there with them when they're struggling in their faith, to sit down with them and to point them to the scriptures and continue to point them to Jesus? Do you love them enough to give your life for them? You know, we can be so selfish at times as Christians, can't we? Seriously, we can. Every one of us is the same. We can be so selfish. We can think of ourselves and our own plans and forget about our brothers and sisters in Christ. But you know, the wonderful thing is that belonging to God's family, God expects us, not, he doesn't expect us, he commands us to love each other, to be there for each other. We're in this together. We're not in it as individuals. We're the body of Christ here on earth, representing the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. We're the body of Christ and we're in it together. You're not an individual. We belong to each other. Isn't that wonderful? You belong to Derek this morning. But we do. We belong to each other. You look to your neighbor, to your right or to your left. You belong to each other. You belong to Christ. You're part of the body of Christ. So we have to act like that. We have to start working as a body. We have to start being there for each other. Why? To fulfill the law of Christ. To love each other. And I know that's what the Lord wants for each and every one of us this morning. Are you struggling this morning? Are you struggling? Maybe it is that you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Find somebody. Go and speak to them. Help them to show you from the Scriptures why you need to turn to God. Help them to get down on their knees with you and to pray for forgiveness as you repent of your sins. Help them to point you to Jesus so that you might go away from this place this morning, knowing him, knowing that you belong to him. Are you struggling as a Christian? Have you been giving in to temptation? Are there sins in your life that have been getting you down? Have you lost your joy? Do you no longer have that peace that God gave you when you first came to him? If so, sit down with another Christian, somebody you know that's walking with the Lord, somebody who is manifesting the fruit of the Spirit in their life, somebody who has love and joy and peace and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, somebody you know that's been with Jesus, somebody you know that's portraying what God wants to do in each of us as individuals and as Christians. Sit down with them so that they might point you to the scriptures, so that they might bring you to that place where you know that you're not on your own. You're not on your own. You've got your brothers and sisters in Christ here to help you, to uphold you, to encourage you. So if anyone's caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. But keep watching yourself, lest you too be tempted, but bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.